You repeat verbally, you repeat the words, God is omnipresent. God is all this. Sarvam Narayanamayam, Sarvam Vishnumayam, Sarvam Brahmamayam, all this God. God is here, God is in this, God is in this, in this, in this, God is in that. And then you say, use the words, God is omnipresent. Why must I use the word God is omnipresent? Because there is a sneaking suspicion, it's not real to me. It is still not real. That's why I am saying it. Something has happened. A division has happened. How it has happened, I do not know. And perhaps it is futile for me to bother about it. As Buddha remarked, when a house is on fire, you don't try to study the composition of fire and the material that is burning. You try to put it out as quickly as possible. So I see that the division has already taken place as far as I am concerned. But then, on the one hand, I see that existence or life with this division is torture. That is clear, fairly clear. That as long as you and I exist, you can be my friend and you can be my enemy. You can love me, you can hate me. These two possibilities exist as long as the division exists, as long as the duality exists. And so I am frightened. Vitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. As long as there is duality, there is fear. Whether it is manifest or unmanifest, potentially, that I see. I also see that where there is no duality, there is peace, there is happiness. That the most obvious proof of it is sleep. In sleep, there is no experience of duality, and one wakes up with the feeling that in sleep one was at peace within oneself and happy. And then come these sages and yogis who tell us that it is possible to have the same thing in the non-sleep states. They also tell us that oneness is the truth and that duality is an appearance. It's a concept. Once again, I have this actually happened to me. I was carrying a little boy to the beach in Mauritius. And from out of the window of the car, he looked and he said, "Ah, Jullosa." He didn't see the waves, he didn't see the oceans, he saw nothing. He said, "Water." I said, "My God, why didn't I think of it before?" To you, it is not water. To you, it is lake. And on the surface of the lake, there are millions of ripples and waves. What are these millions of ripples and waves, if not water and lake? Lake is a word, nothing more than a word. And can you take the waves away from the lake and bring it here? If you hold a mirror in front of that lake, is there diversity in the mirror? In the mirror, you still see the lake and the ripples and the waves and so on, all the diversity. But is there diversity in the mirror? The mirror does not see diversity at all. Even so, the child's pure mind does not see diversity. The diversity is seen in a divided mind. And this seems to be clear. Seems to be clear. You know why? Because it is intellectual. It's not, there is no understanding of it. Why is it that the diversity is not seen, is not experienced by the mirror, which reflects it 100%, faithfully, absolutely faithfully? And why is it that a child looks at it and says, oh, there is water there? But why is it that your mind, which has been educated, trained, complicated, sees it not as one unit, but as water, the lake, this is the lake, this is water, this is lake, and there are thousands of waves on it. Thousands of waves on the lake, somewhere on top. I think we played this joke during the Hatha Yoga session, that you cannot lie down on your back. You were there? No. It's impossible for you to lie down on your back. Lie on your back. Don't you say that in your classes, yoga classes? Lie on your back, you cannot do that. It is ridiculous. You can lie on the carpet. You cannot lie on your back. Can you peel your back off, put it there, as you spread a blanket, and then lie on that? Isn't the back part of you? Lie on your stomach. My God. I can lie on somebody else's stomach, not on mine. So when you say waves on top of the lake, you are creating a division where no division exists. There is no division between the wave and the lake. And it is a crazy mind that creates this division. Look at the waves playing upon the surface of the lake. It's just poetic, beautiful, right? But it is not true. The wave is the lake and the lake is the wave. And so, when I see the division outside, I see that the division is within me. I have created the division, or the division. I become aware of the division. That is where I start. That is where I find myself. There is no use jumping on. I am trying to jump on one's own shoulders. You cannot do it. I find myself in this position. I open my eyes, I see the division. And yet, I can see that in this division, in this duality, in this diversity, in a life that is caught up in this diversity, that is tyrannized by this diversity, there is fear. There are different emotions. And these emotions terrorize the whole life. There is love sometimes, there is hate sometimes. The love itself turns into hate sometimes. There is fear, jealousy, greed, anger, violence. Diversity implies all these things. Diversity brings all these things into this life. So as long as this diversity is there, this will also be there. I see that it is possible to live without diversity. There is a state in which diversity does not exist, and in that state, sleep, the emotional upheavals are also absent. And on top of it, the sages and saints, what have you, they suggest that that is the truth, in fact. That as a matter of fact, that is the truth. You don't have to despair. That homogeneous existence is the truth. Cosmic consciousness is the truth. That this is only an error. If this is the truth, and that is a sort of self-hypnotic trance state, then you come back to this, to the diversity again, and therefore it's a losing battle. They assure us that that oneness is the truth, and that this is an error. And we have hypnotized ourselves into the belief that this is real, the diversity is real. So it's from there we start. So we start from not an acceptance of division, but start from a vision of division. It is a vision of division. What is division? Divided vision. Division is nothing but divided vision. There and here, that and this, right? And therefore, there is constant movement of energy from one to the other. And therefore, there is emotion. Right?
It's quite simple and nice.
The same thing, the same energy has to move somewhere. One is where there is emotion, externalized emotion, and the other is devotion, where there is in-depth motion within oneself, into oneself. And Ramana Maharshi calls it very beautifully. He says, emotion is externalized motion, and the other one is heart motion, motion towards the heart, motion into the heart. That is where the circle completes itself without externalizing and spiraling. That devotion is called love or bhakti. A division and the immediate balancing of that division, the immediate cancellation of that division, the immediate understanding of the unity in this division. We tried this some time ago, I don't know when. The two ends of the handkerchief you can see the two ends of the handkerchief when you really and truly see the two ends of the handkerchief is not there. When you see the handkerchief, the two ends are not there. When you see it as a handkerchief, there are no two ends. But when you are worried about the two ends, there is no handkerchief. You start with this, you start with the duality, and suddenly the two ends seem to flow towards each other, into one another. And then only one is seen, only the handkerchief is seen. It is then that bhakti becomes, that's the culmination of bhakti, that's the culmination of love, where you start with two and you don't become one. The two ends do not become one. You realize that the two ends are the product of error. The perception of the two ends is a product of error. There are no two ends. There were no two ends. I was told there were two ends and I went on thinking that there were two ends. I didn't have to bring them together like this. No, no. I had to do nothing at all. This is the magic. The two ends are not brought together. Then you tie a knot. No, no. No, no. I leave the two ends as they were. And suddenly realize that the two ends, the division of the handkerchief into two ends was but an error. And all the time there was only the one handkerchief. The division is abolished without anything being disturbed. You and I still continue to be you and I, but without being you and I. We don't have to disintegrate in order to become one, but sustaining what originally appeared to be diversity, the unity is realized. The waves are still continue to be waves. The ripples continue to be ripples. Nothing is taken place at all, and yet a complete revolution has taken place. That is called bhakti. And so, on the one hand, bhakti means division, and on the other, the same word means devotion. Look at it from one point of view, there seems to be division. I and you, man and God, and blink and look again with devotion, with love, the two are seen or realized to be forever one. How does one actually realize this? Not intellectually. How is every cell of your being unconditioned so that this error may be removed from every cell of your being, from your mind, from your heart, from your limbs, from every part of your body, from every part of your psychological apparatus, so that with all your being, you suddenly wake up to this truth that the previous thing was but an error, nothing. We don't don't want to change the world, we don't want to do anything at all, but and yet something has happened. When we are all asleep together in the same hall, your body remains your body, remains this body, and yet all distinctions are wiped out and there is homogeneity. How is this brought about? By in our waking state. That whole thing is known as Bhakti Yoga. There is a little, lovely little scripture called Bhakti Sutras, like the Yoga Sutras. We shall take up a few of them during the coming days and study them in detail. Oh.